yesterday's attacks and other things.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps has achieved global reputation for its efforts and achievements in defending the Iranian territory and national security. The IRGC is also recognized as a major force against militant and terror groups in the region. Its advisors have provided invaluable assistance to the Iraqi and Syrian governments in the battle against the Daesh terrorist group, something Baghdad and Damascus have publicly thanked Tehran for. The IRGC, despite its anti-terror campaigns, remains deeply unpopular with certain Western governments. The United States in particular has been fierce in its criticism of the force and has taken measures against it. Many observers believe the West is trying to pressure Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps because the force refuses to fall in line with its policies and disrupts its agenda for the region. The Islamic Revolution Guards Corps is today a major branch of Iran's armed forces. It was established under the command of Imam Khomeini soon after the 1979 Islamic Revolution that deposed the US-backed Shah. The force has a strong popular base in Iran with ordinary Iranians joining its ranks. The force has played a crucial role in protecting the Islamic Republic and preventing foreign aggression and interference. It is admired by Iranians for standing up to Western pressure and has become a matter of national pride. The IRGC is considered as the most powerful resistance group in the whole world. It's a sworn enemy of Israel and supports resistance groups that fight the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories. The IRGC's activities are not limited to military and defense affairs. It has undertaken vast construction and engineering projects across Iran. The IRGC's development and economic projects in underdeveloped parts of Iran, especially in border areas, have made life easier for many Iranians. Iraq, led by its US-backed dictator Saddam Hussein, invaded Iran in September 1980. The invasion began right when Iran's fledgling Islamic Republic was trying to get hold of affairs following the revolution a year earlier. Saddam sought to take advantage of the disorderly situation in post-revolution Iran. At the time, the United States, its Western allies, regional Arab states, and even the Soviet Union provided military and intelligence support for Iraq, while Iran had almost no ally. At the beginning of the war, the IRGC was a young foundation with no experience of war. But it managed to mobilize its forces rapidly, and along with the army foiled many major Iraqi offensives. During the 8 years of Iraqi-imposed war in Iran, the IRGC learned to fend off foreign aggression and is still utilizing that experience. During the war, Iran was practically under an international arms embargo and faced serious problems in acquiring necessary weapons and ammunition to defend itself. It was during the war when the country declared that its defense doctrine will be based on self-sufficiency in producing weapons. The Islamic Revolution Guards took the lead in designing and manufacturing arms indigenously. Iran has been making various types of missiles over the past decades as part of its defense program. The country has taken a major leap in missile technology. It is now manufacturing advanced ballistic projectiles with pinpoint precision. Some of the most sophisticated projectiles manufactured by Iran are solid fuel Sitjil and Khorramshahr, which is capable of carrying multiple warheads. Back in June, the IRGC fired several Zulfaqar missiles at the positions of the Daesh terrorist group in Syria's Deir al-Zor. The missile strike came in response to a deadly terrorist attack in Tehran. The moments the projectiles hit their targets was recorded by drones hovering over the Syrian city. The Aerospace Division of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps has taken the lead in manufacturing such projectiles. The United States and some of its Western allies are deeply upset by the dazzling advancement in Iran's missile technology. They have imposed sanctions against Iran's defense sector and individuals allegedly linked with the IRGC. They want Iran to abandon its tests of new missiles.
This is simply unreasonable. After all the betrayals that the Iranians have experienced, they will never succumb to negotiating their missile technology, their number of missiles, the effectiveness of their missiles. And anyone who brings that into negotiation is simply a traitor or an illiterate when it comes to the defensive capabilities of a country.
The IRGC says that it is working on new missiles based on Iran's defense doctrine. Iran says past experience, especially during the war with Iraq, shows that the country has to independently enhance its defense capabilities. It argues that its missile power is not negotiable and will not ask for permission from anyone to boost that capability.
Iran is developing its military program, and in this case its missile program, for one reason and one reason only. It's number one, deterrence, and number two, to make sure that, you know, it's enhancing its capability of self-defense. And we need to remember that when it comes to Iran, and I understand that this is a concept that the American people in Western capitals in general have difficulty wrapping their mind around, is not a belligerent power. I can't recall the last time that Iran actually declared war against a country. And we have to understand that it has actually, you know, there was many occasions where it could have. It chose not to. It chose to exercise restraint instead, because Iran is a nation that understands the power of diplomacy.
The IRGC's Khatam al-Anbiya construction headquarters has become one of Iran's largest development and industrial contractors. Khatam al-Anbiya headquarters was founded during the war with Iraq to help with reconstruction efforts. Today, it undertakes major energy and mining as well as urban and rural development projects nationwide. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps is the most formidable anti-terror force in the region. It has fought and dismantled countless terror cells across Iran. It is also advising regional governments and armies in their battle against terrorism. Such advisory missions have been most notable in Iraq and Syria. For instance, IRGC advisors helped roll back Daesh gains across the two countries. Back in 2014, when the terror group was making lightning advances, IRGC advisors and the weapons it supplied to the Iraqi Kurdistan region prevented the fall of Erbil to Daesh. The force is working in close coordination with the Iraqi and Syrian armies, as well as Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement, against extremist groups. The anti-terror efforts are, however, opposed by the U.S. and some of its regional allies. That's perhaps because militant groups in the region have been widely used by the West to pressure regional governments and justify Western military presence in the Middle East. Such stance on Iran's role in the fight against extremist groups has further revealed the West's double standards in fighting terrorism. Meanwhile, the United States has launched a campaign to tarnish the image of the Iranian force. It accuses the Islamic Revolution Guards of involvement in attacks against U.S. interests. An instance is the 1983 attack against the U.S. Embassy's Marine Barracks in Beirut. Tehran has denied any involvement in the bombing and insists that Washington is trying to demonize Iran's armed forces. The IRGC is the most important axis of a regional resistance front against Israel. The Iranian force strongly opposes the Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands and closely cooperates with other resistance groups like Lebanon's Hezbollah. This has disrupted many Western and Israeli plots in the region. The IRGC's regional influence has angered governments supporting Israel. Top commanders of the Iranian force have said repeatedly that Western pressure and sanctions will not undermine their resolve in opposing Israel and fighting terrorist groups.